All right. We're back.
We are back.
We're on. We had some technical difficulties, but we're on live. We're happy to be back here with all of you listeners as it's growing. We love seeing it. The downloads, the YouTube subscribers, keep it going. And if you have not yet, pause this, go subscribe, leave a review. We love seeing it out there as we continue to grow. But Victor, good to see you again, my friend. It's been a wild week.
It's been a fun one. I know you've had a lot of adventures during the week, and you've told me all the stories and all of the events, and I'm super happy for you. And I know I'm sure you killed it.
Yeah, for listeners, it's been a wild, just like a full week. Like we had Halloween, right? Now that was like a busy day as a dad. I decided to like work at my kid's school. I thought it was like an hour. It turned into like a full day thing of being dressed as a Ghostbuster. All right, great. But what Victor's talking about, I was on this past Sunday. I flew from Miami to San Diego. It's actually cool. I think we should look into this more too. To the Select Registry Conference, which is all like the historic bed and breakfasts and all the inns across the country that have been open for like generations and generations, and people just doing really unique things at their properties. Right. And they flew me in as a paid speaker, which is the first time I've ever had that, which was nice. And I was on stage for an hour talking about how to create unique and memorable experiences. And, you know, maybe I even show you this the speech and see what you think. But I really enjoyed it, and they were just very into it. They wanted to learn, and I think we can learn a lot about that in short-term rental because, you know, they are at the property all the time, which is different than our short-term rentals. But I love some of the little things that they were doing for repeat guests and special memories. Like I think I told you, one person, when their guest checks in, they hit a big gong. And so people, like when they check in, you hear like, gong, because Asian Zen themed, and when people check out, they have a different like bell that they do. But they have some cool things that they do for their repeat guests. If you stay five times, they plant a tree in your honor at the property, and they put a little sign in front of the tree saying the Steve Turk tree or the Turk family tree. So when you come back, you see your tree growing, and you know, fun stuff like that. So it was great to do that, but did that all within 48 hours. So traveling across country was a lot of, it was pretty rough, I'd say. But we got it.
Have you been to San Diego before? I've never been.
Oh, it was beautiful. I've never been. Yeah. And I only had 48 hours, so I like made the most of it. And the weather, it's like crisp air, perfect. People really nice. The downtown was cool. I mean, I like Miami's downtown better. You know, it wasn't anything crazy, but the people really nice. And it's like, you know, scenery, like you got mountains, you got water, you've got beautiful trees. Everything's there. Really nice. It's I wish I had like an extra day, but I had to come back. You guys were holding it down here at Tangy for us. What was going on at Tangy? Anything exciting this week?
Yeah, we had a lot going on. I mean, obviously, you mentioned Halloween, which we had a lot of reservations and bookings for that, which was a lot of fun. And this week, a lot of owners visiting their own properties that we've been getting ready for. I know we'll probably touch on that a little bit as well. And then as far as us, you know, we're moving forward with the marketing, with the website. We got our email that we're working on. We're working on, you know, potential big opportunities and partnerships that we shared and talked on the show here. But so far, November has been relatively quiet, right?
I think quieter than expected. I think, you know, probably like the election had something to do with it and people waiting to see how everything worked out. We won't talk about politics here, but we were waiting to see.
I think we were trying to avoid it. But that was a big part of the weekend and of the week. And we were waiting for the election because I think, you know, a lot of people were thinking, you know, which president or which person was going to get elected, and maybe that, you know, involved in what they're spending and what their, you know, their trips or their vacations are going to look like in the next coming months. So it was important. We were monitoring, obviously. So it's been an interesting week. Definitely a different one.
Yeah, it's been interesting, and I'm excited. I think we get the our first own property that you purchased right on this weekend. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, we got the photos. We're putting them up on all of the booking channels, and we're going to do a nice little presentation when it's ready. So we could promote it and hopefully have as many people as possible stay there and enjoy the space. We put in a lot of work So hopefully people enjoy it.
So that's our first own. So we control the property. We control the service. Everything is within. So we'll talk about that when we don't control the property and how we try to give good service later on. But today, we've got a lot going on. Airbnb just did their earnings call for the third quarter. So it was interesting to hear Brian Chesky talk about a lot of things. We're going to talk about the top 10 destinations to visit in December. And I think you'll recognize one of the places that got named. And then we'll talk about owners and how to work with owners and make sure if you're building a brand, you can make sure that stays consistent throughout those properties. But a lot to cover. You ready to start?
Let's do it.
All right. So let me jump in here. So the earnings call, Brian Chesky, who is the founder of Airbnb. And look, we're fans of Airbnb on a lot of things. They deliver a big chunk of our business. And he started to mention a bunch of things that, we're not going to go into how much they made and all these things. But one of the things that really stood out that they've been pushing that they launched in October was their co-hosting service. Yeah. And so co-hosting, do you want to explain what co-hosting is, Victor, to people?
Yeah, so co-hosting is a new feature that Airbnb started in October. And basically, they're allowing Superhosts,
guest favorite hosts
to be able to set up a profile, a co-hosting profile, where other hosts that maybe need a little bit of help, that maybe just need some guidance or assistance, can reach out to these co-hosts and either have their services, rendered in their property, or just again for any guidance or any opportunities there. So pretty interesting, and I know you were feeling some type of way.
Yeah, I feel like, look, we're set up differently than a lot of companies out there, to where we create individual listings for every single property to give it more of a personalized feel. We work with those owners. So I think we are in a good shape that way. But over 20,000 people applied to be co-hosts, right? Yeah. So automatically, those become, whether we like it or not, direct competitors to Tangy and to any other third party management company out there, because those would have been homes that we would have got the phone call for to help with, are now being promoted to these 20,000 people. And there's even a page now, like I went on it this morning on Airbnb that I share with you, that they're pushing co-hosting, like, oh, having trouble setting up your account, work with a super host, right? They'll help you walk through it. And so they have that set up now. The thing I didn't love is that Brian Chesky said, co-hosts actually get higher scores than third-party partners. And that might be the case for like the people that don't do a great job, but we're super hosts in almost every single one of our homes. And I think that kind of puts like a negative light on property managers, because he wants to keep things inside of co-hosting within his ecosystem, right? He doesn't want the VRBO to have access to the property and booking.com and Hopper and Wimstay and all the places that we connect to, because it gives more eyes on the property. He wants those eyes to stay within Airbnb, because you can only co-host within Airbnb. And we have ways to connect it to where we can still get you out to everything if you want. But that's where I kind of was bothered, right? I was like, oh, third parties, like you're not as good as the actual co-host. How does it make you feel when you hear that?
That's incredible. Yeah. I mean, I shared a story with you back in 2016, our first Airbnb conference that we went to, back when Airbnb was still a little baby. And immediately, the first impression when I got there is the person or the representative from Airbnb that was there when I introduced ourselves. She, specifically said that, they don't have any plans yet for management companies, that they want Airbnb tailored more to the personal experience and don't necessarily have plans for management companies like ours. So that was interesting to see that, from 2016 when we had that conversation to now, not a lot has changed really. But to touch on what you've kind of mentioned, Airbnb is the only platform where we do personalized listings with the owner's, personal contact in there to, again, create that personal experience that Airbnb caters to, which is completely understandable and we are trying to uphold. I understand when there's a large management companies with thousands of units in their profile where that can, lose its personalized touch. But like you mentioned, us as management companies, this is specifically all we do. Maybe other co-hosts aren't doing this, full day in and out. maybe they have other, you know, means of income and other businesses and stuff like that. And that could maybe, you know, hurt the hosting. But for us, this is all we do. This is what we focus on. We have a team specifically just catered to, you know, hosting. And it just, yeah, it surprises me that that's his kind of point of view. So,
yeah, well, what it showed me is like, we need to be more, we say, vertically integrated, where we own the property or we control the property. We list it. We do everything in one place, because it's getting harder and harder to do this the right way. And, you know, maybe we start teaching some of these co-hosts how to be a great co-host, because we've seen it. Like one of our properties, the one, I won't mention the name, but one of the ones in Naples that we used to work with is no longer listed. I was looking at it this morning. Incredible. So interesting to see. Yeah, I looked at it this morning, couldn't find it anywhere. Couldn't find their Instagram, couldn't find the link, didn't go anywhere. So just interesting to see, because sometimes you think going with a co-host that is charging you very little is the way to go, but then you realize, like they are not true hospitality professionals, or they're not built for this, because it's a different machine when you really start to connect to multiple properties versus being a super host at a studio that's in your backyard.
I agree. I mean, I think, you know, and we've had several owners, you know, that they'll work with us. They'll learn a little bit, you know, of what we do and our ins and outs. And they're like, okay, you know, I think I've learned enough. You guys do a great job. I think I could do it myself and save us, you know, the cost. But they'll quickly realize, you know, that they can't just survive off of Airbnb. And, you know, if Franceschi has anything to say, it's, you know, if these owners or these hosts go with, you know, management companies that are able to, you know, link their property or connect their property to all these booking channels and keep the property as live as possible. You know, you just mentioned one example right now with the Naples PT Ranch that he just removed his property. Maybe, you know, management companies are helping these listings stay on the platform for longer than they probably would be if they're off alone, right? So maybe that's a point there that he hasn't come around to.
Yeah, look, it's not easy. But if you find a good co-host, there are good ones out there. I'm sure that there are. I've seen a couple of them that have multiple units now that they're building their side business and charging a lot less than traditional third party. So I hope that they can do well and the owners make money. But it's hard to do. It's hard to do.
Yeah. And I mentioned to you backstage, and I know if you recall, I took a call as I put my personal account as a co-host so we can, you know, see what it's all about. And we've gotten a couple of leads. One specifically that came in last week was a person that, you know, likes to travel, and he has a studio detached from his main house, and he just needs help, you know, to manage the property while he's traveling. So, you know, I see that as a perfect opportunity for, you know, a co-host or a person that manages one or two properties to take on and you know, make a little bit of extra side income. That's not necessarily, you know, our business model, or doesn't fit in our business model, because we pay, you know, for systems and software for every month for each of these properties. So to us, this wouldn't make sense, because there would be a, you know, a possible loss from managing a property like this. But to other co-hosts, you know, if this is their bread and butter, that could be something that can work for them.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I mean, it was talked about heavily, so we're already listed. And if you are listening to now and you are a third party, and you have some properties that are doing good, or you're just starting out, try to become a co-host, because I think that you'll find some leads through it. And it looks like it's leaning this way. So just be prepared to be ready for that, because they're pushing it hardcore to keep it within their ecosystem. So good job anyway to Airbnb. They hit their revenues just barely. So people continue to travel. They grew 10% year over year. So people are continuing to use the platform. It's still a big piece of our business. So let's see. We both got a stock in there. We're not giving, you know, financial advice to anybody. We'll put that there out there.
I was going to say that. We just now we're going to open the stocks and see how well they performed.
Went down today, but they didn't crush it as they should have. But anyhow, December is coming up quick. We're here in November, and we're talking about holidays. I think we talked a little bit about Thanksgiving and just making sure you have the properties ready for Thanksgiving, especially our kitchen. Yeah. So we'll make sure, if our team is listening, check the kitchens. I know we talked about it in our meeting, but people are coming for Thanksgiving. But December is coming, and CN Travel put out their top destinations, and they have some beautiful places. They're all winter wonderlands around the globe. But one of the top destinations was our very hometown here of Miami for people to come to, because it's probably the best time, I think, to come to Miami with a bunch of events going on. So Art Basel starts the first week, which is just takes over the entire city and draws visitors from around the entire globe, looking at not just Art Basel, the art show, but then you have Art Miami and all these cool parties that are all associated with these events, which is amazing. It's also the best weather time here in Miami as well. And then you have everyone looking for the best nightlife and the restaurants we've got. It's all packed, which is fun, but also a little headache for locals. So Miami is the place to be. And you can also stay with us, right? So you can check out Tangy Management, our new website, and see the homes we've got coming in for December. But I'm actually leaving. I'm leaving in December.
You're leaving. Where are you going?
I'm going to Boston. I want to go see some winter wonderland in a city that I haven't really experienced. And so we're going up there. How about you? Are you traveling anywhere?
No, I don't think so. No, I think we're staying in. It's funny right here, the locals and us, we, for Christmas, we go towards where the snow is, right? And then everybody else that's with snow all year long, they'll come down here. It's funny how that works. But no, I don't have anything planned. But I was surprised and also, you know, happy that obviously we made that list. So, you know, bring down your shorts and your t-shirts, leave the sweaters at home. I know as I'm saying this, we'll probably get our first cold front of the year.
Yeah, I own three sweaters, so I get to use three of them at that time. So in that week. But, you know, what I wanted to highlight this is it's really kind of special. So there's so many different markets across the country that people buy vacation homes in. And Miami is one of these interesting ones. We have all different kind of things. And we get phone calls about investors looking for Miami. What is some advice you would give investors about Miami if they were coming? Because it is a great market if you're choosing the right things to do.
Of course, yeah. I mean, it's, the homework starts from the very get-go. Obviously here, you know, price is the big factor. That is what, you know, from 4, 5, 6 years ago to now, you know, that's a big factor to it. But, you know, looking for specific areas that outperform other markets. So we get a lot of investors calling us all the time, asking us, you know, what are the areas, where do you see the most movement as far as, you know, reservations and tourism and stuff like that. You know, then you got to look into the zonings, right? And the area and the city where it is legally allowed, because we do have a lot of restrictions here. So you got to make sure that there's, you know, specific zonings that are allowed to do this. And then really just look at the overall market and find reports and find analysis, call companies like ours, management companies, before you do an investment like this, because it is expensive city. And there is, like we've talked about on the show before, you know, about 60 something thousand units going up, one bedrooms, one bathroom. So we always tell our investors, you know, try to set yourself off, you know, off of the pack, and make yourself unique and special. So if you are looking for those properties, make sure, you know, you have something charming, something unique, something that can offer different from other competitors in the area.
Yeah, it was interesting, right? Because I like that you talked about this, because the units you just mentioned, like in the core of downtown, right? We had one under contract. Right. That ended up having to go into a hotel condo pool. But I started looking at their rates and they're in the hundreds, right? They're not even really breaking 200 on a lot of nights. And so these people were promised that they were going to make 400 a night, 500 a night, and they're not close to that. So you have to really work with somebody that knows the market and can tell you the real rates, because those people now, unfortunately, I feel bad, are underwater because they can't cover their mortgage and association fees with the rates that are coming in. Right. Now, I tell people, I was on the plane coming back from San Diego and they just want to use it as like a vacation home and make a little bit of money. I was like, that's the perfect place to be. But if you're expecting it to cover and produce extra money on top, you got to be really smart on the units that you're getting, because you're competing with hotels. So we always tell people at least a 2-bedroom, but now hotels are getting smart. I was walking one yesterday. I think I can mention, I was watching the Hyatt Andaz on Miami Beach yesterday, and they cut out a lot of their smaller rooms and are making them bigger rooms to where they have a lot more suites. And so they're split up into 2 rooms, right? So you have like your living room and your bedroom. So they're adjusting to that. And extended stay is now the hottest trend in travel building. So like the extended stay market where you have a little kitchenette and a living room and a bedroom, right? So all these one bedrooms, hotels see it and they're like, all right, game on. We're going to get ours going. And we have the points engine behind it with Marriott and Hyatt and Hilton. And we're going to push that. So think about that. You need larger spaces, pools if you can, things that are unique that we're working on right now. So that's what people are pushing for.
It's incredible to see. It's incredible to see. Yeah, that's it's a lot of units, and everybody is, you know, starting to try to diversify. And we saw some of these prices for some studios that can go up to, you know, anywhere in the 600s. So, you know, that's that to me, you know, is a really, really big price tag on something that is probably not going to, you know, to break even. So for those, you know, that are, like you mentioned, that are just looking to have a vacation home where they can, you know, have their family, or they do business here, or they regularly visit here to South Florida, it's a perfect opportunity to find something, you know, inexpensive, as far as, you know, a condo, and still be in the city and still be in the life and enjoy it yourself. And then, you know, make a little bit of extra income on the side. So that's perfect for those investors. But yeah, it's getting a tougher market. And as we see, and we specialize in single family homes, that's becoming, you know, more and more looked out after. So those homes and those people who have homes, you know, there's an interesting and a possible improvement for you as a homeowner.
Yeah, we see some people making great money. I look at some of the checks we send and I'm like, wow, that's a good investment right there. But for especially sure. To make sure you're buying legally zoned, getting into a good area. But you can see Miami, this is the month. And so I love seeing that we're getting promoted for December and January and February, March. So hopefully we'll see that in the returns, and travel continues to boom here in our hometown.
That's our first four strong months. November, like we mentioned, hasn't been as kind of the level that we imagined, but the month just began. And we know Airbnb and short-term rentals are predominantly strong in last-minute reservations, as we see daily.
So a lot of cancellations this week too, with people getting sick. So hopefully there's no flu season going around right now.
I hope so too.
But you know, as I talk about this, so we haven't talked about this much. But that's why I get more excited. As I'm talking about it, that's why I'm more excited about this unique glamping site we're working on. And so I know that it will do well. We got approved for the first stage. Now we got to get the second stage done. And I know that it will work, because you're going to spend, like you mentioned, $600,000 on a studio, where you could spend $600,000 on six safari tents with air conditioning and bathroom and charge even more than you would make. So it's going to work as we talk out there. I'm just talking out loud, talking into existence here, people. And we don't have to work with owners as much if we do that. So now owners here are going to be interesting topics. We've had some ups and downs with owners of properties that have really been sold high expectations, and we have to come in and try to help them. We have others that want the best for their property but don't want to invest in their property that have left us because they just don't match the standards we've got. And then we've had to say goodbye to some owners that just don't meet the standards we have in place and aren't a good fit for our culture. Right. And so it comes from having our clear hospitality vision. We know our mission, we know our core values. And so now we're very choosy about who we work with. But it's hard. Every owner, different personality. Each property is different. Even though we try to standardize things, we have certain things we can standardize, but there's others that we can't. So what are you seeing? Because you're on the ground floor talking to owners, building owner relationships. You know, you and Santiago are doing it a lot, but you've been the point person for 6 years. How do you talk to owners to keep the standards in place?
Of course. Yeah, you said it, you know, and it's not easy. It's, you know, many owners that have different expectations, different personalities, different goals. So it's all, you know, kind of like a balancing act. And I treat owners, you know, with the same respect and kind of cadence as a guest, in a sense, because, again, they have expectations. We want, you know, to obviously meet those expectations. But, you know, there's where that, you know, fine line of reality comes into place, and you have to have those tough, difficult conversations with some owners to bring their expectations into reality. You know, I know we talked a little bit about this week and how interesting it's been, and we've had owners that, you know, we manage their properties you know, several properties in several markets. And, you know, their frustration can be sometimes like, hey, why is my market or why is a current property here, you know, doing better than a property where it should be, you know, performing much better. And, you know, a lot of it comes to what you put into the property, you know, what is what you're offering to the property. And we have to set reality to the owners and let her know like, hey, you know, this property is not compared at all to, you know, the property that you're referring to, as far as how we're promoting it and we're presenting it to the guest. Time and time again, you know, we get all of this feedback. You know, we've talked about that we have a lot of systems and softwares that we can see guest reviews and what they're talking about and being very specific at what their feedback is. And we've shared it, you know, with the owners so they could understand, hey, this is what the guests are wanting or expecting. You know, let's try to meet those standards so we can get those rates, so we can get those reviews, and we can meet your goals financially. And it's hard. It's a balancing act. I think I've said this on the show before that I've had hotel friends that are like, oh my God, managing homes, it must be so much easier than managing hotels. And I'm like, no, not really.
Wow. And we've hired hotel people that are like, whoa, I didn't realize.
Different monster, right? It's in a hotel. You know, you could have several owners that own hotels, but, you know, maybe it could be, you know, max five, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but so that's, you know, four or five different personalities or four or five different owners that you have to, you know, deal with for one property that's all, you know, in one area, one place. This is very different because we have several homes spread out all throughout South Florida that we currently manage on ground, and every property has a different owner. So very, very different and very, very challenging. And to those people coming from hotels, it's like a big kind of like a wake up shock, right?
It's a wake up call. Hotel owners have the difference is with a hotel. What I always tell people is that unless you're a regional person overseeing a lot of hotels, you're always working with the same ownership, right? You may have a different asset manager that treats that place different, but for the most part, you're working with one hotel entity or a real estate investment trust or an owner that's a privately held company. Here you have a lot of, it's basically all different small business owners if you really look at it this way. And so some of them that you may meet think that they're going to hit certain numbers and you have to educate them on that. Then there's others that are just want help and you got to explain to them and teach them. And there's others that are very hands-on, and we've had people show up to the property to yell at guests like, don't do that. And then we have others that just say, hey, send me the check every month. Right. So you have all different kinds of people out there. You just have to be mentally ready as you're doing this. And that goes back to the co-hosting too. If you're co-hosting with somebody that you don't know, you're doing business with somebody that's the owner of that place. And so you just have to make sure that you can make sure their expectations meet reality. Cause if not, that's where things get off the rails pretty quickly is what we've seen.
Yeah. And I know we've sat down and we've had the conversation as to what is, you know, the perfect owner for us and what, you know, who are we looking for when we are trying to partner. And we have a couple of checklists that we go through that they have to hit. And obviously the property needs to match. The owner needs to have, you know, very similar goals as us. And then everything works together. But an owner, you know, that listens, takes advice, you know, that if it's something is wrong or something needs fixing or looked at, they're, you know, work with you instead of against you, because it's that tug and pull sometimes with some owners. But when you're playing both on the same team and you remind the owners that you're both playing on the same team, that the common goal is to, you know, generate revenue, then that's where you can have a really successful partnership. You know, an owner that, you know, is involved. You know, I always say that I do like owners that are involved because, you know, they'll be able to catch or see or, hey, you know, add their personal touch. And we take that feedback. And I think we use that feedback to improve and to get better and to change things. So we like those owners that, you know, are on top of their business, because then we'll have some other owners completely different on the spectrum that won't answer messages, emails. Hey, we need this, we need that. You know, not necessarily, you know, wanting to work for, you know, with us or invest back in their property. And it's tough. You know, we just have kind of every walk of life, you know, working.
Yeah. So owners, if you're listening to this, listen, we're owners of properties too. So don't feel bad. We want to make sure we help you. We're going to coach you up. We're going to make sure that everything is taken care of for you. We were going to use the best tools and the best practices. We're open and transparent with everybody. But we just want to make sure that you all understand what the business is, because a lot of time there is some education to it and how to figure out the business part. But we promise we'll take care of you. I can say that. And now, as owners of our own property, we know we're in it too. We have skin in the game as owners as well, and we understand what you're going through. Absolutely. So look, we covered a lot here. It's already been 30 minutes. 30 minutes flies by. So if you, yes, you, I'm looking at you. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure to like this and subscribe. If you're listening to this in your car or on your walk, make sure to leave us 5 stars there on any streaming platform. It's a big help. And most important, if this is some value to you and you think that it could be shared with somebody, hey, share it with them. You never know. They're going to put a smile on their face because you're thinking about them and how to improve their business. So we appreciate you all listening. But until next week, make sure to keep exploring, keep traveling, and have a great day. We got to work on our tagline here, Victor. I want like a sign-off, like, keep it classy, San Diego.
Keep it classy, San Diego. Some anchorman for you. There you go. I love it.
Yeah, but we enjoy it always being with you. Hopefully, I think we should start doing some live shows with everybody pretty soon, answering their questions live. We've got this down on the recording. So have a great day, everybody. We will see you next week.